Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show. Test, 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 test.
Test, test, test.
Just give me a little bit more.
Come with me,
and you'll see.
A world of pure imagination. Look around, you will find something wonderful.
If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. You can have the world, there's nothing to it. We're off key.
No, that was Barbershop. As in, we don't know what we're doing and we're singing in a barbershop.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers. Featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 54,
that's right.
Of the Internet Comedy Podcast.
That was a quiz.
Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name's Cole.
I am Chris.
Our last name
is Ross.
And we're kids.
From Ohio.
And we're talking comedy to your ears. Chris, we are the ombudsman who liaise between comedy and your ear holes. And
I understood none of it.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm just throwing government jargon out there, you know.
We're the ombudsman?
We're the ombudsman.
What does that mean?
It's a position. It is a person within an organization who is dedicated towards working with government officials.
I thought it was a brand of soccer shorts.
Hey, Chris, can you give me a story?
A man wearing the head from an inflatable Frosty the Snowman decoration as a mask terrorized residents of small town Vanceboro, North Carolina. Four panicked locals called 911 to report a disguised man with a 4-foot candy cane was on the loose. One woman behind the register of a tobacco shop thought Frosty was going to rob her when he tapped on the shop's window, but the clerk calmed down when the possible villain waved the candy cane prop. Others, however, were not comforted by the sight. One caller told 911 dispatchers that the man scared a little girl. Police didn't dig too deeply into the case, citing more serious, unsolved crimes. We know about the ones being committed by Frosty, but a TV station was able to uncover that Jeffrey Acker, something like that, put on the getup to spread a little holiday cheer, and he has not been charged with any crime.
Did he commit any crimes?
Yeah. I guess.
I guess what I'm saying is, so this isn't a case of somebody taking the opportunity to dress up as a holiday character and committing mayhem. He's just walking around with a forbiddingly oversized candy cane and waving it about and, you know, screaming at the kids.
I think the bigger issue here is that he's wearing a plastic bag over his head. I think I would be scared because it's like, oh my god, it's a zombie. He can survive without air.
But do you know what he can't survive without, Chris?
No, I don't.
Fear.
Yeah. But, well, his candy cane is a foot over the legal length.
Exactly. You know, that those regulations are set for a reason.
Anything 3 foot and over, you need a permit for.
No blades longer than 11 inches, Chris, and no candy canes over 3 feet. That's what our forefathers fought and died for.
Well, that and slavery.
Oh, man, have you ever heard of the movie, what is it, Jack Frost with Michael Keaton?
Batman.
This is the second time we've done this, right?
Yes. Michael. Which, no. I said Batman immediately because in listening to our rundown of everything we know about Michael Keaton, as far as his filmography goes, yeah. We forgot Batman. He was like the original, like the cinematic Batman, and
Chris,
we forgot that.
What Sean Connery is to James Bond, Michael Keaton is to Batman. We must never forget that.
Okay.
Michael Connery. Guess. Yeah, no, but Jack Frost, like, he's an absentee dad who plays in a band that's like a blues band that does only Christmas song covers, and he gets in an accident. His soul is trapped inside of a snowman, and he has to like reunite with his son.
And yeah, another interesting fact about Michael Keaton is it's just like John Voight and Angelina Jolie. John Voight's Angelina Jolie's dad. You can just like never guess that.
Uh-huh.
But then once you know, you're like, oh yeah,
makes perfect sense.
Michael Keaton is the father of James Franco.
I can see it now.
Yes.
Their faces, their general demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
That is so weird. What accounts for the last name? Is it like general Hollywood hijinks?
Probably that I'm lying.
Okay. Well, Chris, since we're talking about crime, can I tell you about some international crime?
And isn't a crime.
The authorities
I realize
that
most of the shit we think we talk about is crime, so you could use that any time. But this is not a crime.
He caused a panic. They were trying to decide if he was, you know...
Too cute to be scary?
Exactly.
Or so cute, it's scary.
Okay. Two farmers in northern India were sick and tired of the corruption at a local tax office. By way of retaliation, they decided to let loose a box of 40 snakes in the office, including a few deadly cobras, causing a panic. Hey, I don't like the tone of your voice. Snakes!
What did they not like that they did?
Well, here's the thing. Here's a quote from one of the farmers. I had to dump snakes because the district magistrate was sitting on my application and demanding a bribe, and I'm unable to meet their demands. Where will I keep these poisonous snakes? I don't have the space.
He should have brought his attorney.
Hey, wait. They had enough snakes already, Chris.
We brought his attorney. Hey, this is my attorney, Samuel.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. You're making a snakes on a plane.
Snakes on a plane in an joke. Office, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In 2011.
In 2011,
and right, a shade before 2012.
That's timely.
That is the quality of heat that you're bringing, Chris. You're a McDonald's quality heat here. You're just a griddle. I need you to be a Burger King quality heat, Chris. I need you to flame broil that, okay?
Hey.
Just kick it up because, you know, we need to keep that flame alive. We need to keep that juicy flame alive. So no one was injured, and the police are still seeking out the culprits, one of whom is a known snake charmer. A known snake charmer. I can't say the word snake. I'm sorry. A known steak charmer, Chris.
Neat.
They won't let him into Logan's Steakhouse because he's a known steak charmer.
And where was this at again?
This was in northern India, not Indiana.
This
India.
Is another reason why we'll never be friends with those people.
Well, they need to do better because, like, of all, you know, all the progress that we make towards living in a modern society where we're all one people and we're all cool and we're humans and we're chilling out, all of that progress and, you know, most of it laudable, there are still snake charmers in India.
They're pigs.
What?
They're pigs. They ruin their own stuff. They got rid of their own quality snakes.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. At least when we do it here, i.e. Oklahoma City, we run a truck. You gotta value personal property, and until we get that established with them, we're never gonna be friends.
Understood. You gotta hold on to your snakes, Chris.
Yeah.
Why do you think they put snakes on the Don't Tread on Me flag that the Tea Partiers wave around?
Because it's badass and menacing.
It is. Like, hey, don't step on me. I'm a snake. I'm cut up in 13 pieces to represent the colonies. Do you know how many pieces you'd have to cut that snake up into to, you know, measure anything in India?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Oh man, snakes alive, Chris. I'd be terrified. I would want to leave that away. I want to leave that right away.
Snakes alive. Well, here's this question. This is along the lines of people that I'm never going to get along with. I know that I'm not going to get along with them, but I don't stop trying to understand, stop asking questions. And it seemed like every site that I went to, it described all these Muslim people spraying each other with acid.
Oh, like for honor killings?
Like for just Tuesday. I mean, they does it. Okay. If I say, yeah, I sprayed him with acid, and then you say, do you really ask why? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I guess no, but that's something that they do. It's like, it's more
oh,
India.
Oh, well, shit, he did that. Why do you call me to help?
Well, it's still wrong. It's still awful. It's part of their thing. It's like, now no man will have you, and then just they throw acid.
Well, and I hate to be like Seinfeldy, but where are they getting this acid? Like, I can't, if I wanted to throw acid on you right now, like, I got pissed, and I'm like, fuck his face with acid. Where would I go?
You know, I think,
where would I get the, I mean,
what you're saying is that it's endemic to the culture, this acid throwing, like how we would break a bottle and, you know, shove it in somebody's face. They just throw acid, you know.
But the, so I mean, I have
we,
bottles
we have,
all
we have
over
beer
the place.
Bottles laying around, right? I'm drinking out of one right
so
now.
So they just have acid all over.
They do. It's endemic to their culture.
Oh my God.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, if you know, you have access to the things that you find valuable. We have access to double cheeseburgers and guns. They have access to acid.
Okay. Well, I
it's
don't.
Wrong. It's terrible. It's mostly done against defenseless women. It's, you know, it's a bad, you know, retrograde part of their culture.
The one that I read about that stood out most prominently in my mind was that apparently they asked for this lady's hand in marriage and the family said, nah, that's not going to happen. And so the band of thugs like left and went and got their acid and came back, broke in the family's home. And this is in Afghanistan, and sprayed the entire family with acid.
The entire family?
The entire family. They sprayed them down with acid.
Jesus.
Now, that was the word that was used to describe what they did. They sprayed it.
So usually they
threw acid in, like,
yeah,
a, in,
yeah.
In,
just
in,
like,
you know,
I
in whore, a whore's eyes. They do the acid thing.
I carry around a vial of acid. It's my escape valve. You know, I usually carry around smoke bombs. They carry acid.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I always have my trusty acid super singer.
Got to pump it 50 times, Chris.
I don't know.
Got to pump it 50 times for maximum distance.
Spell singer.
S-I-N-G-E-R. Singer. Ooh.
It was hard. I had to use an apostrophe. Oh, my God. I used an apostrophe.
Chris, I refuse to play this game with you.
Why?
I refuse to play this particular game with you. Do you know what that game is?
What game?
Jimmy Stewart or Don Knotts?
Nah, I don't know.
I don't. It's not a game that I can win or you can win. Everybody loses when we play that game.
Yeah, they do.
Well, golly. See? Nobody
I'm
knows.
I'm not going to do it.
Nobody knows.
Yep.
Chris, just like Queens of the Stone Age, no one knows.
I don't know that song.
It's a good song. I like that song. Chris, let me paint you a picture. Speaking of people we'll never be friends with. A public library in Laguna Beach, California. 8 homeless men gathered around a computer, like a fire in a Norman Rockwell painting. Pornography on the screen. A homeless man fondling himself. Picture complete. Let's frame it and
hang
it.
I'm almost there.
Let's frame it and hang it, Chris. Authorities were called to the scene, and the men were arrested for lewd conduct. But there is still a controversy, Chris, and I think we can settle this once and for all. The library says that it's against the First Amendment for them to filter their computers or monitor what grown adults research. Parents are outraged, saying that the library doesn't offer porn magazines and therefore should help keep out porn sites as well. Children, you know, since everything is for the children, have their own computers at another side of the library, and those machines are filtered. So, I think the library's right. I'm going to throw that down. You know?
Bums can jerk?
No, bums can't jerk, but bums can look at shapely ladies having various fluids thrown in their faces, whether it be acid or whatnot. I'm just saying, it's an American freedom.
Really?
Yeah.
In public?
A lot of people do gross things in public, Chris. They pick their noses. They chew tobacco. Why not, you know, look at some, you know, lovely people making some love, or some ugly people making some love?
I don't know.
I guess it's a slippery slope.
Why are you going to the library?
Well, they're homeless.
Unless you don't have internet access and you're doing that. What are you at the library?
Well, what do you what do you expect them to do? You know,
what are you doing there?
What's that?
What are you doing at the library?
I don't know. Checking out DVDs. From the library, because the Blockbusters are all gone.
Are you polishing up on your Dewey Decimal system?
Yeah, well, no, I'm more of a Library of Congress guy.
I have no idea what that means.
LOC. It's a filing system. Don't worry. Don't worry.
But you know what that is?
Yeah.
So I guess I don't have an opinion on this. I mean,
you don't?
I mean, it's as just, long as they're not bothering anybody. Parents,
they get weird.
They get weird. And then they get together and then they make weird, like, groups.
They form associations.
Yeah. Against things.
Yeah. They have causes. They march under banners.
They don't do that.
They file petitions.
And they go after, they don't care who they go after.
No,
they'll go after American, you know, institutions. They'll go after nonprofits. They'll go after for-profits.
You know,
it doesn't matter.
They'll go after prophets themselves.
They'll attack the prophets directly.
Yeah. No. They will attack anybody who commits words to prophecy prophecy to words.
Absolutely.
You know.
And in this case, they're infringing upon the profits of Kmart.
Okay.
As Kmart's been forced to withdraw a line of underwear for young girls that carry slogans such as "Call me," "I heart rich boys," and "I love boys in uniform," written across the crotch of the panties. After the store was accused of sexualizing teenagers, Kmart has confirmed that it will remove the underwear, which is part of its popular Girl Express line, after it was the target of a Twitter campaign led by outraged parents.
There we go.
As we had mentioned.
Outraged parents, the most powerful force in nature.
Who described the slogans as disgusting and sleazy. Melinda Tankard Reist. She kept her last name. A spokeswoman for the group called Collective Shout, which campaigns against the sexual exploitation of women, said the slogans were completely inappropriate and Kmart should know better.
See, I'm conflicted because these slogans, would they not be as filthy on any article of clothing?
No, I mean,
if they're objecting, are they objecting to the fact that they're on underwear, or are they objecting to the fact that they're on a young lady?
This is saving little girls.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Nobody wants to molest what is the word?
Teenager?
No, people want to molest teenagers.
Nobody
wants to... A superficial little bitch.
Why are we training these little girls
to be
gold digging
tramps?
Nobody
wants to molest that.
I love rich boys.
They're saving the girls.
Come on. Let's keep them innocent. Keep these kids innocent so that children
they're
will be more...
They're not going to be innocent.
No. Let's keep them innocent so that they'll be more...
innocent.
Oh, this goes back.
Can you imagine the turnoff?
What's the point of having things written on your underwear? And you know, granted, I am a person who went through a woeful wearing slogans on t-shirts phase.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I was to the point where I had one t-shirt that said, "Hey, check out the slogan I have on my t-shirt tomorrow. Coming soon to the spot, something amazing."
You didn't have any of those.
No. No, but it was mostly like video game t-shirts. I still have them.
Graphic tees.
Graphic tees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've gotten some sense, but you know what? If I was walking around with a shirt that says "I love rich boys," you know, "I love men in uniform."
Call me.
Hey, how's it going? All that I'm picturing is
hello.
All that I'm picturing is a plain white t-shirt with big bold black letters, with possibly a matching white trucker's cap. Also with big, bold, black letters. Do you know what it says, Chris? Cunnilingus enthusiast. That's fun for the whole family. Or in poor taste. Depends on her hygiene.
I think it depends, yeah.
That's gross. Okay. A police officer and a municipal employee in Miami have been fired for attempting to cast a spell on their superior. Magic, Chris. Magic. The target of their incantation was a city manager who was leading an initiative to cut 9.4% of the city staff. So this is Robin Hood if he was a voodoo magician. So they contracted a janitor to spread birdseed around the city manager's office, a Santeria practice that is supposed to ward off people from a location. So like, hey, don't come around here no more. The janitor turned the two employees in, despite their protest that the spell was harmless. The employees were fired for, quote, conduct unbecoming.
Don't need your Santeria. Don't need no crystal ball.
Chris, I figured that we were gonna do that usual thing where like either I or you sings a song, you know, during the episode.
There's so many words in songs that people say every day.
I know, right?
That you don't hear until
you don't.
Hear.
And then when you say it, somebody chimes in like they're clever and says, "Oh, you know, like, oh man, this, I demand satisfaction," and I say, "We're like, I can't." But the point is, I knew when I included this story that the Sublime song would come up, but I realized I can't field this one. I can't step up to bat for the Sublime song because I don't think I've ever heard it.
All I know. Okay. See, is that one. And then I don't know where it goes. I digress and the song plays on.
Exactly. Yeah. You get it started. You call out to the bandstand. Mm-hmm. These women, they insist that the spell was harmless, but I don't think it was Santeria. I think they were trying to get a full-fledged Big Bird attack happening.
I don't know.
I need bird seed.
Call out to the grandstand. Give me an R.
Give me
an A.
Continue.
Give me a P.
No. What?
Give me an E.
Wait, you think that they were trying to get Big Bird to sexually assault the city manager?
No, I don't have any opinion on rapists.
Okay.
But apparently people do.
Chris.
A study from the University of British Columbia found that the believers think atheists are roughly as trustworthy as rapists. In one of the study's six parts, researchers described an untrustworthy archetypal free rider performing selfish or illegal acts and asked subjects to say what type of person the description was most likely to apply to. Atheists and rapists were found to be trusted less than Christians, Muslims, Jews, gay men, and feminists. Respondents also said that they would discriminate against atheists when hiring. Atheists, on the other hand, seemed fine with believers. They seem to think that religion is not an important signal for who you can trust.
Holy shit. Really?
This is real.
Okay, so wait a second. The atheist persecution complex is completely justified?
It's not justified.
It's justified. A study just said, people don't like atheists.
Well, then they like them slightly more than rapists.
Slightly more than rapists. It depends. I mean, okay, let's grant it. It depends on your opinion of
rapists.
Want
to make me a sandwich but not watch my kids. Whoa. Ate the best sandwich made by a rapist.
Can you name me at least 5 of the 10 commandments? No? I'm sorry, you can't mow my lawn for money.
Do you know what you don't need God for? To mix a great Tom Collins.
I guess... I guess what I'm saying is this is, you know, somewhat alarming for a person like me, a person of let's say skeptical beliefs. I don't want to label myself with any one thing, but skeptical beliefs, that's weird, right?
Yeah, I mean it's no more weird than like say, I don't know, needing Jesus so you can sleep while you drive.
Okay, so the highway patrol has click it or ticket, drive sober or get pulled over. Let's get a national ad campaign on the rails here into people's eyes and homes to let them know that Jesus should not at any particular point be taking the wheel. He is not a physical manifestation that can interact with physical objects.
No.
The laws of physics will take over. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I saw Cape Fear. Did you? I saw it the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
The Simpsons episode?
There was some rape in that, right?
What's that?
There was some rape in
that,
right?
Oh, super rapey.
Yeah, it was very rapey.
Yeah. No, I like the Simpsons episode, Cape Fear. It's
weird. But even at this, it's kind of funny because this study, all it says to me is that your religion, in reference to the atheist, not the rapist, because we're not gonna blase that, but not any longer. now that it's not funny anymore today,
right?
That is not cool. But on this one, the religious ideas are really just prejudices.
Oh yeah, most
that's
certainly.
It. That's all it is. Because the atheists are like, no, he's cool.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I don't care what he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, so long as he can do his job and not force himself on that poor man or woman.
He probably didn't say it like that. Yeah. He probably said, "Doesn't matter, man. We're all made of stars." But I understood him. I get it,
Chris. I trust anybody who can quote Carl Sagan. Okay.
I do. It's
okay,
nice.
It's implicitly, mm-hmm. you know, implicitly. Mm-hmm. He was big ups on the weed, on the marijuana.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. One of his firm beliefs was it's always 420 somewhere in the cosmos. Chris, this isn't based on a story, but I just want to ask you: have you ever like said to somebody, "Hey, can I borrow your phone?" Like, hey, can I use your
I've
phone?
I've asked you that.
Yeah, you've asked me that.
Like a stranger? No.
I mean, just like anybody.
I've asked people, but not a stranger. Yeah. I mean, somebody that I've known. I mean, I said, "Hi, I'm Chris. Can I use your phone?" So
yeah.
I mean,
I've been, you know, holding a bloody T-shirt to my head.
Use my real name.
Yeah, yeah. Because that would lead a paper trail.
I keep a bloody T-shirt just for that purpose.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I have a head injury. Then you just hold it up in front of their face, and down they go. Oh man, atheists. But No, I'm just thinking about how I use my phone, and I think of, you know, I'm doing it at the podcast here, and you know, I wipe it down with Lysol wipes every once in a while, but the majority of it's on the toilet.
Oh, they're filthy!
Oh, they're awful!
They're filthy little.
They're the
whores.
Worst. It's like every other week there is a completely justified study out in the world that says like, hey, your cell phone is filthier than a toilet seat. Toilet seats are actually very clean, but I just think about it. Like, I'm either sitting there reading the Something Awful forums on the toilet, or I'm playing Super Stickman Golf on the toilet, and then I'm just out in the world using this thing.
Yeah, it's really disgusting.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I alone?
Like, I cook bacon, and like I get like raw pork on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't use your phone on the toilet?
No, I only cook bacon with it.
Do you cook bacon on the toilet?
Yes.
Okay. That's what that hot plate is for.
Yeah,
I thought it was for disinfecting your home dentistry tools.
No.
Okay.
I have a special pan that cooks one slice of bacon on a Bunsen burner.
Just hook that up to the natural gas line?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pipes right into my bathroom counter. Shave? Who needs it? I Bunsen.
Cauterize that shit. Chris, your face, after you're dead, it's going to make a nice piece of shoe leather.
It is going to be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did you have something you wanted to say?
No. I just wanted to make a statement regarding the sanitary.
You were just thinking about how horrible.
How horrible.
See, if you let somebody else do that, hey, can I borrow your phone for the week?
No. I don't even want to touch somebody else's phone.
Oh, really?
No. I'm fine touching my phone. No. This is my filth. This belongs to me. But
I went through a phase where I wiped everything down.
Yeah, yeah.
I realized what will be.
I've got Lysol wipes that I use on my keyboard and my mouse. And on my phone,
really?
You know, I do. Yeah.
Hmm.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
But okay. Calmer than you are. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. Hey, fine. Tell me a story.
Would you kill one person to save five others?
That's a utilitarian argument. Depends.
Isn't it?
Depends on who that one person is. Will that one person go on to save more lives than those five other people?
I know you would regurgitate the summary of a debate that you had in some liberal college class. I fucking knew it.
Sorry, it's a question.
That's the mess that it is. That's the mess that you paid to learn. It's just how to hear keywords that trigger ridiculousness with no real thought of your own.
Well, it's the key question. The bend of my dick. The bend of my dick?
The bend of my dick. But
okay.
I want to get to the real deal here, not what you thought you were told you shouldn't say.
No, it's a question as old as time.
Yeah, many philosophers ask it. That's the part that I cut out of the article that I condensed down for this. It said that. It started with the nonsense that you started out with, and I cut it out. I have the link. I'll show you when we're done.
Okay.
All right? Because I deleted it.
Was this just a trap? Like the trap sprung? Like, we got Cole? We got Cole trying to act smart?
And I deleted the entire rest of the article. I set you up.
Just the first sentence.
Just the first sentence. That's all it took.
So
you had me at, tell me what you're smart about.
Is there a story here?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
Recently, researchers tried to make the dilemma feel much more real. They placed 147 subjects in a 3D virtual environment where they are in front of a railroad switch controlling two tracks. They watch five people hike along a track bordered by a ravine. A single person hikes along the other track. Suddenly, a train comes barreling toward the five people. The subject has the option to then reroute the train using a joystick, a physical action that they have to actually do in order to,
right.
to make the decision. Results? Any guess?
Most people chose to save the one person.
How many is most?
Most? I would say 70%.
To save one person or five?
To save the one.
Really?
Yeah.
90% of the study subjects switched the tracks, killing the lone hiker to save five.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. It appears that even in very realistic, action-oriented situations, people will go through with a Sophie's Choice motivated by accomplishing the apparently greater good.
Because what that sets up is, you know, it's an action that kills the one person, and it's inaction. Or wait, it's an action that kills the one person, and it's inaction that kills the five people. So it's, you know, can you be held culpable for inaction? Right? And what's funny is, like, this thought experiment is like, verbatim, like, word for word, something that was brought up in a class that I took. I know I'm feeding right into your thing. So, you know, contemporary moral philosophy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I fell into your trap, Chris. I'm just going to say it. They're playing into it. And it's nice to see the people are rational.
Okay. There's 500 people on the train.
500 people on the
train?
There's
500 people on the train.
Okay.
The tracks fork. The train has to be routed.
Yeah.
You have 500 people on the train that could possibly die or be horribly maimed.
Okay.
You have one person on one track and five people on the other.
Right, but what's it already headed towards?
A school. What'd you learn about that situation?
Can we cut it there?
Cut what?
The episode.
Oh, really?
For 36 minutes.
I'm not done yet.
No, okay.
Oh, one note tab for the philosophical dilemma.
Yeah.
Emotional distance. I'm never going to get close to anybody because I don't know when I'm going to have to kill them with a train.
You have to wonder why more people don't commit murder with a train, because we've heard about, you know, strangers on a train, right? You know, Crisscross, Alfred Hitchcock.
I don't know.
No, you don't know that. It's a great movie. It's a wonderful movie.
Was there an aviary on the train?
Yeah, yeah. That's where they met. That's where they made the deal, on the aviary.
Neat.
With all the birds.
That's all I know.
Hanging around. No, they agree. Like this, these two guys. They say, you know, I have somebody in my life that I don't want around anymore. And you know, one of them says, "Hey, Crisscross, I'll kill your guy. You kill my guy. There's no way they can establish a motive, and we're both off scot-free."
Yeah,
it was used as the basis for Horrible Bosses.
Was it really?
That's the same premise
in your brain.
I guess what I'm saying is somebody stole my idea for both Horrible Bosses and Strangers on a Train.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Decades apart.
Hey, Chris.
What?
Can I take you to...
No.
Thank you. Computer security researchers at Columbia University want you to know just one thing. Your printer, Chris... That printer I just knocked on?
Yeah.
It's not safe. Modern printers are complex computing machines that are connected to the internet, but no attention is paid to securing that connection. There are, you know, huge emphasis on, you know, computer security, but not printer security, okay? It's like selling someone a car, but not giving them the keys to lock it, said one of the researchers. To prove this, they developed a program that will cause a printer's fuser to heat up, causing the paper to brown and ultimately catch fire, if the printer's thermal sensors don't override it. So, Chris, pursuant to our previous allegation that printers are the worst things in the entire world, now it's just one more thing that can burn your house straight to the ground, Chris. If printers had legs and arms, they would be all over you, Chris. They would try and murder you in your sleep with fire. Chris, a printer with arms and legs and a knife would be all up on you like stink on shit, boy.
I'm not really scared of anybody except for these researchers.
You have to think that this is some kind of like James Bond villain plot that ran out of funding, so they decided to publish a paper to recoup some of the costs and get a citation.
Yes. We shall attempt to overthrow the World Bank by causing their printers to light on fire. But our R&D budget went long. Okay, Mr. Fluffles. We shall publish a paper.
and then James Bond, he has sex with a lady.
How long is this radio drama?
As long as it needs to be. Do you want to make a radio drama?
No.
Okay.
Not really. Not if you're going to use that voice.
Chris, I've already used that. I'm a man of 1,000 voices.
Look at me.
I did not know that look was not does not go through them. That look was not go through them.
Chris, tell me a story.
That look was wondering if you were going to.
And then shocked this belief that you were actually starting.
But you were going to do that.
I can imitate Jerry Lewis. Hey, lady. Blaven.
Oh. Okay. Stop it.
Tell me a story.
Stop it, because this will be a competition.
Okay.
All right. North Carolina.
The Jerry Lewis competition?
No, just the voices and, okay, the, right. And the yellow pudding pops. And, but stop!
I'm in your head, Chris. I'm dancing around.
Yeah. North Carolina courts have ruled that a man who was erroneously declared dead following a car accident cannot collect damages from first responders who placed him in a refrigerator drawer. The man had a massive open head wound as a result of the accident. Thus, rescue workers did not check the man for vital signs. The county medical examiner sent the man to the morgue, even though 8 eyewitnesses at the scene said they saw movement in the man's chest and abdomen. The man's eyelids began to twitch at the morgue, and it was assumed that it was just a muscle spasm. A highway patrolman asked to see the man's body to determine the direction from which the vehicle made contact with his head. The man was then removed from the drawer, and it was discovered that he was, in fact, still alive. The North Carolina Court of Appeals agreed recently that the defendants have immunity because there was no evidence of intentional wrongdoing.
Intentional?
Yes, intentional wrongdoing.
What about gross incompetence?
Well,
the man's cries of help, help, let me out of here. I'm not dead. It was just gas escaping from the corpse.
It was. Yeah. His vocal cords were cold.
So but, there's a pressure differential as the body cools.
We can explain it all away. And they did, and they got off.
Well, I mean, it's North Carolina, so they're probably, you know, it's probably pretty warm down there, you know, year round. It's a nice little, they should rent those out, Chris. The morgue should rent out the refrigerated drawers. Drawls.
I don't know.
The refrigerated drawls.
They should spend less time talking about the Tar Heels win and more time doing their jobs.
Yeah.
But less time spinning their shirts around their head like a helicopter.
Do they do that?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
They do.
I hate sports.
Well, no, that's a rap song.
Is it?
I think, yeah.
I'm okay.
The late 90s, early 2000s.
I'm okay with rap. No, but they're the ones who twist their shirts around and say, "Go
take your shirt off.
Go Tar Heels.
Run your head like a helicopter.
Go Tar Heels.
North
our
Carolina
favorite
motor raise up. Put your shirt off."
Is that McGruff the Crime Dog?
Huh?
Is that McGruff the Crime Dog rapping?
No.
Take a bite out of crime.
I don't know. That's a song.
Is it?
These people, I mean, the first responders, they, you know, they didn't do their job.
You know what?
And if a doctor, mm-hmm. they're trained to do this, the doctor's trained to do it, a doctor sews a rag up and somebody, the hospital gets sued, and the people mm-hmm. get money. These people are trained to do, there's no immunity in it.
Right, right.
I mean.
They should be responsible.
8 eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
Said they saw him breathing.
Are we ruling out a grudge?
Too bad none of those eight people were paramedics.
Are we ruling out this was some kind of elaborate strangers on a train plot to just, like, block this guy away forever?
I don't know. I don't know what he was wanted for. I don't know what he did, but these people should definitely be held liable.
I think...
for their negligence, ignorance, whatever you want to say.
I think that everybody involved in this case, Chris, should just chill out.
He did.
This has been Those Damn Lost Kids.
So, Chris, what can our listeners do?
They can go to the website, duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. You can check things out there. You can pop onto the Facebook page, leave a comment, post a story. You can reach us, as the beginning of the show states, and leave a voicemail at 419-528-TDRK. You can go to the iTunes. You can download us. You can download back episodes. You can download future episodes. You can download today's episode. No matter what day it is, today's episode can be today.
Yeah.
You can leave a review. You can rate us. You can tell a friend. It is Christmas time. You have a little bit of extra money left from grandma, you know? You could slide it on over this way.
Yeah. Duckfeed.tv/donate. And hey, it is Christmas time. If you're doing any last-minute Christmas shopping on the Amazon, you can go to duckfeed.tv/Amazon and use our referral link. We get a little cut of whatever you spend that way. And you know what? Doesn't cost you an extra thing. So do that. Doesn't cost you an extra thing. Easy thing. Everybody uses Amazon. It's great. Do it. I think that's it.
That's all. Got it.
Good night.
Good night.